Thank you, Angie. We're particularly thankful for Angie today. She had some health scares this week, and it is really good to have you here this morning. Thank you for playing for us, leading for us before the Lord in that way. One day in the office a few weeks ago, we were talking about a stuck note on the organ, and someone mentioned that maybe Angie's organ shoe had been left on that particular key. And I said, "Organ shoe? What?" They're like, "Yeah, I think there are specific shoes for playing the organ," which led me to, I don't know, a 15-minute search on where you get organ shoes and all of this. And so this week, staff gave me a few different thoughtful gifts, and one of those was my own pair of organ shoes. And so, Angie, I've got a matching pair. I'm ready to go. I was going to wear them today, but you're not supposed to wear them outside, right? Ever. Very soft bottoms. They're wonderful. I don't know what I'll use them for, but I'm delighted to have them. Organ shoes. Very exciting. As I approach this last day here at First, I have been struck by how complicated we are as people. It is so very possible for us to feel so many different things at once, and for us to have so many different attitudes at once. And over the course of the last 2 or 3 weeks, as I have been processing this, there have been a lot of words that have flooded forward. Words like love, connection, investment, frustration, joy, encouragement, appreciation. They have all come, and that, and so many other words have flooded to my mind and my heart as I have been processing my last days here as pastor of this church. And the more I processed all of this, the more I realized that there's really one attitude that stands out above everything else. One thing that comes to my mind as I process leaving, and that is thankfulness. Thankfulness stands out as the word above all others as I think about all of the years that I have spent here. Psalm 9:1 says, "I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds." And God has, in fact, done many wonderful deeds among us as a community during my time here. And so I come this morning to give thanks. 1 Chronicles 16:34 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever." We have experienced that. Amen, amen, and amen. I think about my time here as your pastor and all of those other words that have come flooding in really get swept up in a giant sea of thankfulness. And I am thankful to God, and I am thankful for you. Ephesians 1, 15 and 16, Paul says, "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." I agree with Paul as I think about this community of believers. I will not stop giving thanks for this group of followers of Jesus Christ. I will not stop remembering you in my prayers. And so, I'm going to spend the rest of my time this morning just giving thanks for a number of different things. They're not in any particular order. They're not even well connected. I am just going to quite randomly give thanks for many things that came into my mind as I thought about the last few years. Let me start with the staff and how thankful I am for the staff of this church. I am thankful for the many staff people who have come before and have now gone. But I am particularly thankful for this staff that is here right now, for their deep desire for Jesus to be the center of everything, for their focus on Jesus' kingdom and Jesus' name. I can't imagine what ministry here would be like without their help and their encouragement and their friendship. Jeremy is like a brother to me, and that will always be true. Susan has been a sister, a friend, and a support. Laura has been a great friend, and as you know, she does all of my real work. Hannah and her family have been so supportive of my family since they have come here. Jeff has such a deep concern for people meeting with God and provides so much fun for the staff. Serenity's only been on staff for a few months, but her passion for Jesus and her love for our kids to grow, already evident, already going to be so great for our kids' ministry. Zach's the new guy. Zach, are you here? Oh, there he is. Okay. Zach's the new guy. It took him all of 1 week to play his first prank on me. And he went into my office and turned all of my furniture around so that it was facing the walls. He's going to get along great here. Not just because he's a bit of a prankster, but also, like Serenity, such a deep love for Jesus, such a desire for his word to go forward, and for the kids and the youth to grow up and become mature in Jesus. Just love them, and so excited that they're here, and excited for the staff that will be here during this transition time. It is a great group of people. As an addendum to that, I'm also thankful for our interns. Last year's interns brought so much energy and joy and commitment to our church. Two of last year's interns, as Jeremy mentioned last week, are now serving full-time in other churches, on other church staff. Three of them are here investing deeply in our own church. I don't know if this has been announced publicly, but two of our interns from last year are starting another downtown community group about three blocks from here. Very exciting to see them investing and committing. And while our new class of interns have just gotten started, you can already tell they're going to bring so much passion, so much joy, and so much desire for the Lord to this community. And I'm so excited that they're here and that God is going to use them greatly. Very excited for the staff that is in place and for the interns that are investing here. As silly as this one may sound, I am also thankful for my health during my time that I have been your pastor. I have had a number of pastoral friends, who have had to take extended leave from their churches because of illness or injury, and that has not been our experience here. In all my time here, I've not had to miss a Sunday or spend a significant amount of time out of the office. And as so many of you know, it is not because I exercise more than other people. As all of you know, it is not because I eat healthier than other people. Anyone who has gone out to lunch with me knows that that is not the case. I do not deserve to be healthy for all of these years. It is the gracious gift of God to me and to, in some sense, to our congregation, that I have been able to be here and fulfill my duties week after week, and I'm thankful to God for that. This may come as a bit of a surprise, but I am also thankful for the 143 funerals that I have done during my time as pastor here at First Baptist. When I started here, I was primarily doing funerals for people I didn't know well, some of whom I didn't know at all. Over time, that transitioned, and I began to know the people that I was doing funerals for, and then was doing funerals for people that I considered to be my friends. I have had the hard privilege to walk with so many of you through times of grief, and I do count it as a privilege, and I am thankful for it. And while it is so hard to say goodbye to people that we dearly love, it is also such a great reminder to us. Funerals are such a great reminder to us of the priorities that we are to have in life. Funerals focus us like nothing else on the temporary nature of life and our need to be focused on what happens after we die. I am so thankful for every one of those 143 opportunities that we have had as a congregation and that I have had personally to gain greater eternal perspective as we have said goodbye to someone that we have loved and have thought about where we stand in light of all eternity. Thankful for those funerals. I am very thankful for the people who are a part of this congregation who have invested deeply in me and my personal growth and my growth as a pastor. Some of the people who have done this have gone to be with the Lord, and some of them are sitting in this room here today. I can't name all of them, but just some examples. I think of Ralph Jensen. and the way he regularly took me out to coffee in order to encourage me and to give me pep talks. I think he quoted Winston Churchill's Never Give Up 4 or 5 times as we were out to coffee together. I think of Jim Hoare, who regularly took me out to lunch in order to process the best ways to do leadership development and just encourage me in the pastorate. I think of Harold and Eileen, who regularly asked me to come and pray with them and just spend time praying with them, and who I know, like so many of you, prayed for me every single day. I think of Dave Wilson, who walked into my office on Monday mornings to ask me challenging accountability questions, knowing that's what I needed, and then spent time praying with me every time that he did it. That's not a complete list, it's just a few examples of those who have invested in me personally and in my pastorate, and I am so deeply thankful for you and for so many for whom that has been true. I'm also very thankful for the friendliness of this church. I have seen again and again people walk into this congregation and be greeted well, be cared for by friendly people who are a part of this congregation. I can't even say that without thinking in my mind of the image of Dave and Pat Jones spending time with Naresh his first week here at the church, spending time talking to him after the service, and then inviting him to come over to lunch out with the rest of those who were going to lunch out, sitting at the table with him and welcoming him. And Naresh said to me several occasions how meaningful that was, how he came back because of their friendliness towards him that day. And that example is multiplied over and over and over again by a congregation that is deeply welcoming and deeply friendly. There are so many churches where when you visit, no one talks to you. Where when you visit, no one seems to care to know your name or seems to care that you are there at all. And that is not true here. This is such a wonderfully welcoming and friendly congregation, and for that I am so very thankful. I'm also very thankful for the way that my family has been treated at this church. There are churches, believe it or not, where the pastor's wife and kids are watched closely and judged harshly. Some of you may have even been a part of churches like that in the past, where the pastor's family is watched closely and judged harshly. That has never been our experience here. My kids have been allowed to grow up and live messy lives without any harsh criticism or judgmental concerns. Beyond that, so many of you have invested deeply in my kids, taking them out for special nights at the theater or taking them out to dinner. You spent time teaching them or spending time with them in small groups or just giving them an encouraging word as you walk by them in the halls of the church. And I am so very thankful for the way that you have treated my children. What a blessing it is for a pastor to know his kids will be treated well in a church. And I am so thankful for that. And the same is true of my wife. She has been allowed to use her gifts for ministry without any pressure or expectation of what a pastor's wife is supposed to be. No one has ever asked her to play the organ or pick out the wallpaper, which is terrific. She has been allowed to use her gifts, which many of them are more relational, and be able to be an encouragement to others and be encouraged by others. So many of you have been such great friends to her in this community, and I'm so very thankful for the way that you have treated her. We are both very thankful for the way this church has treated her. Along with being thankful for how my family has been treated, I also want to say how thankful I am for my kids and the way that they have honored their parents. As a pastor's kid, you are constantly here. You are constantly being dragged by your parents to different ministry events. You are constantly in this building. My kids have spent hours and hours here. When their parents have been involved in things, with nothing to do except wander the building. And we have often dragged them to ministry events that haven't necessarily had anything that was for them. And I appreciate the way that they have handled that. I was reminded this week of how much time my kids have spent in this building. One time when we were here all day and my kids had nothing else to do but wander the building, my son and my daughter and my daughter's friend at the time, Jenna, were all wandering around here, pretty young at the time, and they made their way into the sanctuary. And as kids will do, they began to find a way to entertain themselves. And they were all wearing flip-flops or sandals. And so they took their flip-flops off, and they went over to this side of the balcony. And then they tried to see if they could throw their flip-flops like frisbees all the way over here to the other side of the balcony. Which was a fun game until my son took Jenna's flip-flop and threw it to the other side of the balcony and accidentally got it stuck on the top of the chandelier. Where it stayed for months until enough bulbs on the chandelier had to be changed for it to be lowered down. We got to buy Jenna new flip-flops. My son got to go to the business manager at the time, Jim Forrest, and tell him what he did. Then go to the custodian at the time, John Burns, and tell him what he did. I thought that was plenty of punishment. As a pastor's kid, you're just always here. And you're always at ministry events. And we decided early on in their life, we're going to do life and ministry together as a family. Even if that means kids are going to get tired in all of this. We used to have, years ago, a Saturday service here. And we would bring our kids down here on Saturday nights, and then they would go out with us afterwards with all of the young adults that were a part of that Saturday night service. And we would stay out till 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, and they were 3, 4, 5 years old. And then we would go home and put them to bed crazy late, and then what would we do? We would drag them out of bed on Sunday morning and get them to Sunday school, where some very patient and understanding Sunday school teachers waited for them. And we would do this week after week after week, and they have been dragged to things. And in all of this, they have never responded in bitterness, but instead have honored their parents in the midst of all of this. And for that, I am so very thankful. They have embraced this lifestyle of being here as a family, ministering together, and have never, they have as teenagers made their own choices to come here and watch the door for Dad when he had ministry events where there was no greeter and come to Friday serves instead of going out with friends. I'm just grateful for the way that they have honored their parents in all of this instead of growing bitter. Of course, I'm also thankful for my wife. Proverbs chapter... Proverbs chapter 31... had to get a grip there. I'm not going to fall apart. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10 says, "An excellent wife... who can find?" I did, right? I did. "She is more precious than jewels." Amen. The Lord has provided a wife for me who is beyond excellent. She is not just a great wife, she is a great pastor's wife. Whenever a pastor leaves, my dad worked in church transitions with an association for a lot of years, and he said, whenever a pastor leaves, there's three categories of people. There are those who are sad, there are those who are mad, and then there are those who are glad that he is on his way out, right? I know that when it comes to my wife, there are only people who are sad that she will be leaving as the pastor's wife here at this church. I cannot imagine someone more willing to dedicate their time and energy to disciple, care for, pray for, and love a community of believers, and I am thankful for the way that she has walked through these years with me and with you. I am also very thankful for the relationships that have developed with all of you as we have spent time together. As I look around this room, I just see one special relationship after another with people. People who I deeply care about and who have cared about me. I appreciate the time that I have spent praying and planning with board members, current board members and board members who have been here in the past. I so deeply appreciate the time that I have been able to figure out new environments on missions trips with so many of you and spend time doing all kinds of strange and exotic things overseas as we have figured out missions trips together. The time spent eating lunch together after a worship service or having coffee with you, processing challenging things in life. The time spent around hospital beds or challenging each other in men's community groups. I am so thankful for the gracious way that God has provided deep connections within the relationships that I have here at this church. Thankful for these relationships. I am also very thankful for the way that this church has been willing to bear with me and my own imperfections and shortcomings. I have sought always to make wise decisions and prayerful decisions about our direction as a church and the decisions that we need to make. However, I can think of many of these decisions, I can think of some of these decisions that I regret or have decision or have questions about. And I can think of courses that we've set that I wish that we had set slightly to the right or slightly to the left of where we had set them. But through all of this, you have been kind and gracious to me. Many of you have deeply supported me, even as you have disagreed with decisions that I have made. In many areas, you have watched me learn on the job and flail around and have been kind and compassionate towards me in the midst of that. And I thank you for bearing with me in the midst of my shortcomings and imperfections. I am also so very thankful for the way that you have encouraged me. There is a couple here, Madisons, who have remembered my birthday and gotten me a gift every year for the last 12 years at least, maybe longer, something like that. I don't even remember my own birthday most years, right? And they have remembered every year, and I've only been on Facebook for the last couple of years, hasn't mattered, they remember every year and make a big deal out of it. And that's just one example of how people have been encouraging. I think of all of those who are no longer with us, who have gone to be with Jesus, who have written notes of encouragement to me. I think of the people in this room who have been encouraging to me. I actually kept a drawer in my office just filled with notes and cards I have received from people in this church as a reminder of how many loving and caring people there are here in this community. And I'm so thankful for the encouragement that you have shown to me. You have been the embodiment of those words that build up that Ephesians 4 talks about. You have been those words that build up in my life again and again. And the final thing that I will say, I can see some of the kids are starting to get restless, so it's time for us to wrap up this Thanksgiving. The final thing that I will say in terms of my thankfulness, I am thankful that we will be spending forever together praising the name of Jesus. As I exit this ministry, this isn't the last time we will see each other. And I don't mean just because Erica and I live two blocks away and will for the next several months. No, we will see each other again because of the work that Jesus Christ has done in our lives. And we will spend all of eternity serving Christ together. We will spend all of eternity seated at God's great banquet table being served by our God. Right? Think about that image. Right? We will spend all of eternity at God's great and joyous banquet table being served by our God who serves us so deeply and with so much love. I'm thankful for what God has been willing to do so that we can praise Him forever. What His Son did on the cross in order to pay the penalty for your sins and for my sins. in order to take our sin upon himself so that we could have the righteousness of Jesus Christ given to us. I'm so thankful that you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, and that I've placed my faith in Jesus Christ, and that because of that, God's gracious work has been applied to us so that we can celebrate him forever together. It is that amazing work of Jesus that has given to you and to me eternal life that we celebrate at this table. And I want to invite you into my thanksgiving today. All of us, I would like to approach this table with an intense sense of thanksgiving and gratitude for what it represents and what Jesus has done in our lives. The worship team is going to be playing and we're going to sing together. And as we do, I want to invite you to come and get the elements at the four tables and then bring them back to your seats. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, we want you to come and get the bread that represents Jesus' body that's been given for you. We want you to come and get the cup that represents his shed blood for the forgiveness of sins. Bring that back to your seat and then hold it there, and we'll all take it together. But as you sit in your seat, as you continue to worship God, continue to just give thanks for his great work in your life. Continue to just give thanks for the amazing sacrifice of Jesus Christ and what God has done on our behalf. Let's give thanks together.